I was like, okay, how can I eat right now? How can I survive? I'm a single mom. I've got my kiddo. I want her to show her that I'm resilient. And so that's when I was like, okay, creative mode, problem solving.
You had to find yourself before you could offer who you are to the market.
Finding out who I could serve and then making that bold move to say, okay, I'll do this.
Welcome back to the Fired Up Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Reba, and we are back with another exciting episode with another inspiring entrepreneur. We're sponsored by Reignite. Reignite is a 10X certified business coaching practice where we help tech-enabled entrepreneurs to maximize their relationships, use those relationships to help their team grow their sales by up to 30% in 90 days. So Reignite is the way to help 10X your business. And my next guest is 10Xing the world of business consulting, specifically with real estate investors. And she is just a source of energy that I have the pleasure to meet. So please welcome owner-operator of Harvest Consulting, Christine Diamond. Welcome to the show.
Hello. So glad to be here. Thank you so much, Brad.
Awesome to have you on. Really was great to meet you just the past week at the 10X Growth Conference. I don't know about you, it was an inspiring event for me, but I think, you know, learning your story really just sparked in me some of the things that I knew along the entrepreneurial journey people in our audience would find valuable. So I'm really glad you came on the show today. Maybe you can just start with a quick intro. So for those that don't know you, they can learn a little about you.
Yes, of course. I here in the Rocky Mountains of Utah, a super adventurous woman. In fact, I'm part of a nonprofit that's called Mountain Mamas, where mothers get to go out and enjoy canyoneering and paddleboarding and mountain climbing and everything. And I'm a mother of a fabulous daughter. She's 7 years old. And I got her the 10X Kids book when we were there.
That's great.
At the 10X Growth Conference. And she's been learning alongside me in this entrepreneurial journey. And she said, hey, mom, how can I earn money? So she's starting to do her own chore chart. She did door dashing with me. She wants to make her own little business. So I just love it. My background is in international business management. I have had a lot of experience being able to work with a Hispanic and Latino community, speaking Spanish and helping grow their businesses as well. And what I have found is it's super important to build your community while you're growing your business. Here in Utah, there's a lot of business. There's a lot of people. My family on both sides have entrepreneurial background. We have HVAC companies, landscapers. My dad was a landscape artist, floral designers. And these are all just in my family, caterers, restaurants. And so I knew that it was possible, but doing the entrepreneurial journey on my own was still so incredibly scary.
Sure.
And I still am brave every single day. Yeah. I have a statement I say to myself is, I'm big, bold, and brave and beautiful, and I can do the things I want to do. And I have a little song, and I sing that with my daughter. And then we say, what do you want to do? And so I think that it's really important for us to have a resilient mindset when we're growing and just keep at it and go, yeah. Okay, I got knocked down again. Okay, keep at it.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit of me, and I've grown a lot. There's a lot of hardships that I've come past and still moving through them.
Yeah, I love that. And the resiliency that you show, and even just the reinforcement with your mantra and your song that keeps you going. You have to stay centered somewhere. And I think anytime you're starting something as hard as a business that like you've done, you have to have a reason and a why that keeps you centered and reminds you, you know, what you're in it for in the first place. And so with you, like, what was the why that got you into Harvest Consulting and what keeps you going in that business?
Yeah, I think that is why I love thinking big, is because that's what allows me to stay connected to my why. So I first realized that people in real estate investing, they look on the outside very sophisticated, but on the back end of the operations and administrative support,
yeah,
it's a mess behind the scenes. And people don't want to admit that. because it's a very vulnerable place to be. Like, you pull back the curtains and you're like the Wizard of Oz and you're great and powerful in the front. And then behind, you're like, don't look at me. And so what I had found was I, in my career, had been in so many different roles in the administrative support. So business manager, sales manager, project coordinator, executive assistant, everything, basically middle management. But that was for the corporate structure and it was working. But in the entrepreneurial world, people forget, you can pivot on a dime and create new offers and be innovative, but you also have to have the systems and structure in order to stabilize your growth, not just be a wildfire, putting fires out all the time.
Right.
And so what happened was I was working for a real estate investor and his partner, she wasn't able to take on the role of asset manager. And so I didn't have any background in working with Freddie Mae and doing a $5 million refinance of a 52-unit multifamily apartment and 26 people involved and 11 investors needed their money back or else they would have a $30,000 fee and have to start over.
Oh, wow.
I was like, what? He gave me that responsibility. And I only used my project management skill set. And it went smoothly, so seamlessly that his partner said, Christopher, how'd you do that? And he was like, no, that wasn't me. That was Christine. And so then the question from the partners was, how can I get a Christine to help me with my project?
Wow.
And it became an opportunity where I saw in myself this huge why coming up where I said, there are so many people struggling in the real estate investing industry in particular. That's the one I started with. I can help other business owners, but I specifically want to help people remember that it's about the people, not just the numbers.
Yeah.
That the people, the relationships you're creating, the partnerships, that's what matters. That's what makes business happen. The people you have as your general contractors, your operators on site, your property management team, those are the ones helping your project come to fruition so you can get money back for the investors. The tenants who live there, they are the ones who, that's their shelter. That's their home. And you are getting money and more wealth and capital because they need some place to live. And the subs, they are laborers. They are hands-on working on the electrician, the plumber, the HVAC guy, everybody is keeping your project moving. And so I want to bring back that focus on people. So my why is that I want us to focus on the well-being of people. And if you stabilize operations, everyone can get along better. There's less backbiting. Hey, you didn't pay me. Hey, this is taking forever. All this conflict can be dramatically reduced, if not avoided entirely, by just putting in healthy systems. And so for me, the why is all of those people are families. They're local leaders. They're business owners who are employing people. And so if I can impact leaders, then the impact that I have to improve the world greatly exponentially increases. And that's just the start. It's just, if I do that with this one industry, then what happens if we do that in other spaces, even like your audience with the tech and having better communication with people, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Working with your teams as key partners and key players, not just viewing them as an employee, but as a key player.
Right.
So I definitely do have that passion for the why of like focusing on the people through setting up helpful systems so that everyone has clear expectations.
Yeah.
And can have a good time working.
Yeah, I think you nailed it because the people, like you said, drive the business. And so it's not the numbers. It's the other way around. The people drive the numbers, that drives the business. And it's so easy to lose sight of that. I could see, you know, trying in the real estate world to solve every problem on a spreadsheet and think that that's the way you're going to do it. You're starting from the counterintuitive way, which is really the right approach of looking at the people and then the systems and then the numbers and then the business. And when you do that, it's actually aligning everything to make the business more successful from more of a strategic stand. And I think that's something that is, you're right, it's absolutely applicable to the tech world. People think it's all about the features and the tech and the actual system itself, but you've got to start with the people as you're talking about there. And, you know, I'm sure as you've built a business like this and tried to educate your market as well as serve your market, there's got to be some challenges along the way that have just, you know, like you said, you're strong, you're always resilient. But if you think about the things that maybe have been the most challenging along the way, can you share that with us?
Yeah, I appreciate that space that you're offering to share the hardship. We want to talk about our resiliency and our celebration, but the hardship started when I was networking to see what kind of business I wanted to do about 4.5 years ago. And at that time, I was still married to my daughter's dad. And at that point in his life, he was kind of checked out as a human being, turning to a lot of things that I won't divulge because that's his own privacy. But it was really eye-opening that after we divorced and 3 years later, he texted me because we've worked on our co-parenting. He texted me and he said, "I understand now, Christine, why you had to leave." And he said, "I was lost and I was drowning and you came in to help me. And then I was starting to drown you too." Mm-hmm. And so sometimes when people talk about divorce, they're like, "Oh yeah, that guy's a scumbag. Oh, he's horrible. Like, it's good you got out." And I'm like, what about the people who still love the person that they have to leave? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Like, I think that was probably the hardest thing, is because my daughter now sees that we have a healthy relationship, but we're healthy co-parents. We're not meant to be as partners in life. And that was the first move. What helped me to make that decision was when I thought, if my daughter was in this situation, would I advise her to stay or leave?
Oh yeah.
And it was to leave. And so that foundation of choosing myself and pouring into me and what I needed to live and survive and grow and thrive started a really good foundation, started a really good soil for me to be like, okay, so that was the super biggest hardship. Then when I told you about that starting story of working for the real estate investor,
yeah.
I told you about all this great thing, right? Everyone got their money back. It was so great. Well, he said, "I'm not actually going to be working on my portfolio as much right now, so I won't need you. You have 3 months to find some other work." So I was like, wait a second. I wasn't expecting that. I just made this money for everybody and I'm being paid hourly. And now I don't have a job because I did a great thing. And so that took the wind right out of my sails. I was just so flabbergasted, like, wait a second. I just made you guys so much money and now I don't have work.
Yeah.
I would think it would be the opposite. Like, you give me another responsibility, another assignment, another thing, right? And so that was another setback where I was like, okay, what do I do now? Well, I have my business degree. I like real estate, but I don't want to be the one on site doing all this. I see what it takes. But I would love to support those who are doing it, who are active real estate investors. And then the few partners that were wanting a Christine, right? And I was like, okay, I'll do this. And I'm a nature lover. So I love trees, planting gardens outside. And so the analogy of harvest came up because it's like, make sure that you know what you're planting. If you are planting real estate, that's a long game. And you'll get a yield later on and you're going to keep reinvesting. That's like having an orchard of trees, right? And you need to have a vegetable garden right now to like eat while you're growing your garden or your big orchard. So I was like, okay, how can I eat right now? How can I survive? I'm a single mom, got my kiddo. I want her to show her that I'm resilient, but I was also just, you know, you cry, you got to cry, you got to feel your feelings when those things happen.
Sure.
And then say, okay, now what? Right? Okay, now what? I cried, but now what? And so that's when I was like, okay, creative mode, problem solving. What can I do? How can I serve people? What can I offer? Uh-huh. And then all I basically offered to one of his general contractors and other partners was, I can help you manage your projects just like I did here. And that was the thing. And that's why I like Grant Cardone, is because it's like, create your offer, market it, do it, and then develop it as you go. So all of my clients over the past 2 years, 40 plus businesses, have become my focus group. And I know what it's like to go through those struggles of finding yourself, finding out your business and your why, and then being like, wait, I actually need more help. I'm like, need to turn to experts in different capacities. I had not done marketing and sales. So my next struggle was, how can I get more clients? Right. I got the first two to get started, but then I had been a sales manager, but they had already done all the marketing, the billboards, all the lead stuff. I just had to help people once they got into the retail store, right?
Sure.
I sold eyeglasses and I was a sales manager over a team, but that is not order fulfillment. Sales is way different than being a business owner and marketing and getting yourself out there. So, you know, I could go on, but those were the big three first huge, like, hardships, is like me finding myself and then finding out who I could serve and then making that bold move to say, I got this offer. You want it? Do you want it?
Do you want it? Right.
And be willing to hear the no's, you know?
Sure. And I think you really understand the journey, because you had to find yourself before you could offer who you are to the market. And so, right, if you're trying to establish your value, which, by the way, I think it's a huge compliment that you yourself were sort of deemed a position, right? Like a job. I want a Christine in my business. Like, that to me is the ultimate, you know, compliment in terms of the type of value that you provide. So armed with that, you know, you can really start to say, well, what is a Christine? What do I think is the value? And then you really did a good job of putting together who you are. And now you have to just kind of amplify that message, get it out to the world. And so along that journey, I'm sure there's things you can look back at and just introspectively say, now that I know what I know, I might have done this differently. I mean, are there any paths you would take now or not take, you know, just to, based on what you've learned, and for those that are trying to go along the same journey, make that a little bit of an easier journey the next time around?
Yeah, I'm actually coming to this lesson this year, and I really find it pretty simple, but very valuable, is when you are building up your business, how can your offer be ongoing? How can it be a subscription or something where they're just continuously working with you? Accountants have it great. Their offer is, you know, you got to have a monthly bookkeeping done.
Yeah.
That is a great business model, because insurance agents, I mean, you're going to always have a book of business. You're going to keep following up with people. But whatever you're building your business as, how can you have a really long LTV, lifetime value, with your customers? And just repeat business, where it's like, hey, you started here. Now this is the next level. Now this is the next level. And I've seen that in what we're learning together through 10X and everything, is like, okay, you can amp up what your offer is.
Exactly.
As your people are getting such a wonderful results, they're just like, how else can I work with you? How else can I work with you? And so now I've evolved my offers to actually allow for two solid subscription models, that are ones that are lower level, ones that are bigger level, to continue working together after my like big 3-month program. And so at first I had sales like this, you know, like big windfall. Yay. Hey, I got a new one on client and everything. And then like, it's getting closer to the 3-month point, and I'm like, oh, I got a market. And then now your order fulfillment, and then your market and sale and order fulfillment. But if you can have a base of income that you know is reliable, and the other sales that are one-offs are your bonuses, you kind of think of them as bonuses to your business, then it's exciting every time you get those those bigger sales. You're not dependent on it with your team. Your livelihood and your business's livelihood or operating expenses are based in that ongoing revenue, that passive income, right? That's what we talk about in real estate investing.
Right.
Your cash flow. If you've got stabilized cash flow, then you can have confidence to invest in like a new marketing tool or ad spend or, you know, leadership development program or whatever, because you're like, oh, I have the money coming in.
Right. You've touched on something that's so important and I think it's overlooked. It's the consistency around your activity and what you're doing. So, you know, the initial struggle to get consistent business, which everyone goes through, right? In the beginning, I have to just focus on sales and marketing, get my message out there. In fact, I got to market first and so people know who I am, so that when I pick up the phone or I send that email, I can point them to information about me. So marketing and then sales, and then, okay, now I have clients, I got to service them. Oh yeah, by the way, that sale is running out, so now I got to go start again. Whereas, as you've realized, if you just take consistent daily habits and you've got a subscription or some kind of a recurring revenue model, that's going to allow you to operate a little more organically without so much context switching between activities and having to be the marketing person today. And then, you know, tomorrow you're Christine, the consultant. And then next day you're the marketer again. And then you're back to sales. And then, oh, by the way, it's end of month, so we got to close. I'm going to be back office, Christine. So it's like, you know, there's so many hats we wear as business owners. It's important to make sure that, one, you're doing the things that are strengths for you and that serve you and serve your business. Otherwise, it's time to delegate. It's time to find opportunities to bring other people in. But whatever we're doing, there needs to be some consistency behind it. I can see that over time you've developed that, but it probably wasn't there initially. And that's I'm sure what you need to talk with your customers and your clients about these days is, you know, how they can get more consistent along the way.
Yeah.
You also
touched on something with the hats that I want to bring up is, when we talk about wearing all of these hats, we act as though you have to wear all of them at an equal percentage. And it's actually a person who is an accountant, their zone of genius is in the financial side and in fulfillment, right? Fulfilling financial.
Yeah.
If they have a well-oiled machine for marketing, then they're just going to keep bringing on new clients and servicing them. That is if their business is structured that way, they're in their zone of genius. They're skilled at it. They can get paid for it. They're passionate. It's their calling. Like, they're just good. Someone else who loves marketing and sales, they want to be there all the time, needs the administrative support to fulfill on the order, you know, hire your VAs, do that side, whatever. Have key players in place, but be over here majority percentage of your time. Then, even if you're not owner visionary yet, you're still owner operator, you're at least in the area where you're truly passionate about what you're doing daily, because you're going to spend a lot of time doing it.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, the point of having to wear different hats, you're right, we don't need to wear them all at the same time. And I think sometimes that analysis paralysis of what should I work on today can really get overwhelming if you're not centered around that why for your organization, the mission of your organization. So if what you're doing doesn't serve the mission, if it's not increasing your reach, if it's not advancing, you know, the mission of the company, then maybe it's something we need to delegate or just remove altogether. But yeah, absolutely got it right, I think. And, you know, looking at all the things you've accomplished with your business, with your personal and professional journey, I mean, if you can stand back and be proud of a moment or two, which we don't do often enough for ourselves, but I want to offer you that is like, what stands out as a proud moment for you, where you've come so far?
I would say that when I realized that what I do well doesn't necessarily come easily to other people, and that I'm really helping them to feel stable, peaceful, productive. Okay, cool. You get to spend more quality time with your family. So Andy Hadfield in our local community here, he has Aces Spray. So he did lawn care And his big lie is he wants to educate his clients on their tree care and everything. He's basically like the landscaping doctor. And so what I realized was he was stuck in his business for over 15 years, still showing up on site and everything. He wanted to move out of his business and have somebody else take it on, but he didn't even know how to build that out. He's like just in the grind, just what he'd been doing for 15 years. So he's a very established business and has a team of like 10 technicians that go out, you know? And so he had an office manager, but he didn't know how to necessarily delegate to her to specific projects. He was taking all the phone calls and all the texts and doing everything. And I was so proud when I realized that when we got his virtual assistant placed, we had the hiring, onboarding, and training manual put together. He now has the mindset shift, even though I don't necessarily work on mindset a lot. I work on practicality. It does shift your mindset to go, oh, he has now two partners in a golf simulator business, and he's going to have fun launching that business, and he doesn't have to spend as much time in his landscaping company because he's now in the track. This is our, you know, like linchpin moment here right now. Is he said to me just this last week, so it was recent, I now see that I can truly trust my team. I don't have to micromanage anymore. Like I can trust them to do their part because the expectations are really clear. Holding them accountable is really obvious with our metrics. Our regular monthly safety training meetings are happening. And now one of his team leads, he's training to be his business operator. He's training that person who started out. So Andy does football coaching for high school.
Okay.
And he started out as a football kid who needed a job after graduating and now has been with him for several years. And now he can learn how to run his own business. So it's exciting for, you know, the growth path for his teammate, because he thinks of them as team members. And he's like, now you get to be the coach. And I can go and build all these other businesses. And I have the ability to go and spend time with my kiddos. And he's got four kids. So it's like that to me is so rewarding, so incredibly satisfying to be like, wow, he was stuck. He was in a rut. And now he gets to grow past that. And there's so much more possibility.
That's really powerful. And it's great to see your clients grow. I think that fact that you take personal satisfaction in that and, you know, making sure that they get not just the information they need along the way, but the support and really your insights on how they can develop their team, develop their business, and just really offer more, not just to their market, but to their team members, as you pointed out. And I like that term, by the way, too. I think that I've been in businesses where we've called them every single thing I can imagine. I've heard, you know, employees, right? Resources. No, thanks. You know, and then the worst is, I think, when we're trying to say that it's a family, because it's not. And we have to separate what that means. We have families, right? So we know the difference between what that is. But I think if you look at it as a professional team, right, we all earned our spot here. We earn it every day. And we also have a unique value that we bring to the team. So we're not interchangeable parts here, and we're not resources. And in some cases too, we're more than employees because there's a vested interest. And in some cases we do offer ownership, right, to certain employees and certain team members. And so it's like, we need to recognize the unique value that everybody brings. And I think you've done that for your clients, help them to understand how they fit and how their team members fit into their business, which is, I agree, a very proud thing that you can stand back and say, I help grow that. You know, that's what a Christine does, right?
So,
absolutely. So, you know, it's great to see what's next for your clients. I'm interested, what's next for you and Harvest Consulting?
Yeah. So thank you. Wanting to truly think big. This last year, I just, in my second year of business, was able to hit the six figure. So that was exciting because, I don't know, some people don't even live off of their business in the second year. I lived off my business straight from the get-go.
It's great.
And my goal is actually to 10X. it is to continually build a very strategic lean team of loving people who are going to help business owners thrive. So if our revenue 10x's to a million, so the seven figure accelerator, right? If it does that, then the impact we can have in not only Utah, because we have the ability and we have service people in Hawaii and Virginia and California, anywhere that there's internet, we can help on Zoom.
That's right.
Is to truly help. This is a big, hairy, audacious goal. In the next 5 years, to help 10,000 business owners go from struggling to survive to absolutely thriving as owner visionaries. That's what I want to help. And I think about this, and I'm like, think about the world and where we're at politically. I'm like, this is the impact that I can make in helping small business owners not be the statistic that goes out of business in 10 years and they just give up, to not have all these baby boomers just, you know, forfeiting their business and all the people who worked for them are laid off, like actually being able to purchase those businesses and do a template and be able to keep them thriving. You know, I know that we've got large corporations like Google, Amazon, all those who hire and employ a lot of people, but the heart typically is there in the small businesses, and they care about their people as team players more so often than the big conglomerates. And if you think about it, most of the country is employed by small business owners. So
yeah, that's right.
If Harvest Consulting can be a positive impact in that way, then I'll keep at it. And I'll keep at it helping families to be able to have a good quality of life, team members feeling like they're valued, all the people recognized as people, especially as our world becomes more tech evolved. I want us to remember that we're people, and AI is a tool and it's helpful, and automations are a tool and systems are helpful. But ultimately, it's so that the people can enjoy their lives.
Absolutely. I love it. That's great. That's great. So if people want to get on board with the mission, what's the best way to reach out and contact you? How do you like to interact? How can people get a hold of you?
Yeah. So on social media, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. In Instagram, it's Christine Diamond Consultant. Facebook, you can just find my name, Christine Diamond, same with LinkedIn. And then my website is consultingwithharvest.com. And right now, I'm actually launching for this month a spring celebration. So if you message me, then I'll let you know what kind of specials we have going on. It's called the spring cleaning. So we'll spring clean
that.
Your business.
That's great. We all need that.
That's how you can reach out. And I have a lot of wonderful giveaways.
Great, great. Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you coming on. And, you know, I'm glad I got a Christine on my show here. You've got a life and an energy that I enjoy being around and sharing with the audience as well. Anything that you can think of that you didn't get to cover here that you wanted to before we head out?
Yeah, I would just say that when you asked me the question of why are you doing this, even though I knew it logically, it's super important for you to feel it in your body. Like, feel it in your whole body. When you're doing your morning planning or whatever, don't just get like, oh, what do I have to do? You know, remember your vision. Write down your goals. Why are you doing it? And then just feel it and be like, okay, this is why I'm doing it. Because that's truly helped me, especially in the past 30 days, just being like bold and taking bigger action. I'm like, okay, feel it. Feel it for real, not just logically.
That's powerful. And it is important to write down our goals, remember our goals. You have a great mantra. And I think that's what I think of when I talk about getting fired up. It's not a rah-rah kind of cheerleader, fake positive thing that you do see a lot of. It's got to be authentic. It's got to come, you know, from here. It's got to be something that you really identify with that motivates you. That always comes first. And then you can use that energy and put it in a positive direction. So thank you so much for being on the show and for inspiring all of us. I look forward to seeing you grow and connect, and look forward to, you know, having you on another time. So thanks for coming.
Thanks so much. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. So we'll leave it there for now. And thank you so much, Christine, for being on the show. And for all of you out there,
This has been the Fired Up Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Reba, reminding you to stay fired up and go do something great. Cause when my crew ride up, the sky gon' light up. Everybody get fired up.